The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape. Zola Levitt presents Signs of the End.
You know, each time that I take a group of tourists into Jerusalem in particular, and I've done that 76 times in 30 years, I try to take them to somewhere significant. We used to walk in through the Jaffa Gate. Sometimes we would get off the bus and walk over the city line because there's an old tradition that you don't ride into God's city. More lately, we've been going to the promenade, a splendid view of Jerusalem from the south. It's the same view that Abraham and Isaac would have had of the place when they came over the hill from Beersheba. And the useful thing about it is it's easy to discuss West Bank versus the Israeli area or the Arab so-called East Jerusalem from the so-called Jewish West Jerusalem. Actually, the Jews are the majority in all neighborhoods of Jerusalem. But in any case, the city is exactly divided as you look from the south into east and west. So I take the people through a talk about the city, its history, and the plans now to divide it, the roadmap. Well, the city you see behind me apparently is about to be divided if we take this roadmap seriously. The roadmap is probably, I guess it's the most disastrous piece idea of all of the disastrous peace ideas that has come along. This city was divided east from west in 1948 to 67, and it was a disaster. It was just terrible. Behind me on your left side is the Western Jerusalem that the Jews have built basically since 1948, down to about where the Dome of the Rock is, the Gold Dome in the center, and on the other side is the Arab Jerusalem, and I suppose the dividing line will go down through the middle if that is negotiated, and that is the real point of this roadmap, Jerusalem. Let's face it, the West Bank, Gaza, that doesn't mean much, uncultivated land, basically, but this city is very, very important. So we have a situation where we are going to recreate something we know doesn't work. Now, in the time of the last occupation of the Arab people here, there was bad blood. There was a difficult border. The Jews couldn't get their holy places. Synagogues were blown up in the old city. There was much trouble. I guess there will be again. Three scriptures urge us to think that we are living at the very times of this end, or what the Bible calls the end. And I think the roadmap is closely associated with that. I think it takes us directly into the tribulation period. Let me share those with you. The first is in Deuteronomy 30. The Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, I'm reading from Deuteronomy 30, verse 3, and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee. And from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. Now we have read that verse for many years, and understood it, and we are living in the generation, obviously, that's seeing the Jews come back. It's getting to be two generations now. And they are coming back from all lands everywhere in the world. And the idea of that fulfillment has been with us and is steadily with us as they continue to return. It's the next phrase that urges us to think about this very time, because the verse goes on this way, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. What's said here is that the Jewish people will be more prosperous than even under David and Solomon, when Israel dictated life and death almost to the Middle East, collected tributes from nations round about, sent mining expeditions and fleets, and was extremely powerful and extremely wealthy. built the magnificent first temple, was a showplace in the world. Even that high level of prosperity is not matched by what has happened to Israel in the past 10 years or so. And I have a suspicion, though I have no real proof of it, that agreeing to these off-the-wall peace ideas that we come up with somehow enriches Israel. If you follow me, the real lubricant of international relations is cash. And if the Israelis can be persuaded to sign this, sign that, give away this, trust the adversary with that, and so forth, some cash changes hands, that filters down, and the nation is extremely prosperous. Just an idea, but I have come to Israel for 30 years, and I remember the days when everybody here had two jobs and still couldn't make ends meet, and now I am seeing a nation that is the equal of England or France in its per capita income, and that is some wonderful expansion in that term. Now, Zechariah has another scripture that is very relevant to our situation today. Zechariah 12:2 says this, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people." That's the part that's new. "All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." There has never been a time in all history that all the people of the earth are gathered against Jerusalem, or all nations are concerned with it. What for? It's a city of 700,000 people. It's about the size of, say, Washington, D.C., but Washington is certainly much more important in this world. It's a dangerous place, but Washington has 10 times the killings in the street of Jerusalem. The idea that people in the Orient or people in Scandinavia or South Africa or South America, etc., would be concerned with one small city in the Middle East is overwhelming. So it seems Zechariah's scripture is also in this particular time coming to pass. And these finally coordinate with a remark of the Lord's on the Mount of Olives right behind me, just to the your right of that golden dome where the mountain goes up. That's the Mount of Olives. And when the disciples asked him, "What shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" he gave a bunch of signs that would happen. But key among them was this, Matthew 24:9, "Ye," Israel, they were all Israelis, of course, "ye shall be hated of all nations." Now, that's also never been true in all world history. People around Israel may have had their differences, there were battles, there were misunderstandings, etc., etc. But never was there a time that this small nation, a nation the size of the city of Chicago, was of concern to the rest of the world. It just didn't happen. And so that, too, urges that the end is upon us. Small remarks here and there in Scripture take us to the idea that the end is very near. And with the roadmap and its implications, that is, dividing up the land of Israel, giving it to the enemies of the Jewish people, fomenting still another war, etc. As we've detailed in our other programs, I think that the Bible urges on us that this is the time to look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. A couple of weeks ago, we talked with Joni, our second guide, who is a settler from the West Bank settlement of Anatote, which is 5 miles from Ramallah. It's in a tight spot. But it's Jewish land for sure. I supplied the scripture in Jeremiah 32:9, and I bought the field of Hananel, my uncle's son, that was in Anatote. And it gives a whole record, and God comments, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land." And so it is at Anatote, 2,700 years after Jeremiah, 2,500 or so. But we talked with Joni, and now we're going to talk with Adi Lesnick, who is the head of security at Anatote. Now, Anatote is a place that attracts settlers from all lands. Well, they all do, tell you the truth. They're not all native Israelis by a long shot. Many are Americans, some are Christians, etc. who live in the settlements. They are no impediment to peace. They would bring peace. God help us build more settlements to have more peace, because anywhere there is a settlement, believe me, that neighborhood gets peaceful fast. And Adi Lesnik is an example of the type of person who comes from another nation and lives there and cultivates the land of Jeremiah's purchase. And I began an interview with him. I couldn't help it, by commenting on the fact that here he sits in a peaceful hotel lobby with me in Jerusalem, and yet on his hip, he wears a gun. You wear a gun on your hip, I noticed, when you sat down there. This is your life.
We are going with the gun because we didn't know when they want to attack us, to kill us, and we are trying to be prepared.
Yeah.
To be prepared, and it's not regular life. It's a very hard life. You know that all the time they want to attack you, to kill you, and it's uncomfortable. We are not afraid. But it's not regular life. You can't, I think, like you are living in America. You come, wake up in the morning, take care about the children, send them to school, and you go to work. Regular life, we are not. When we send our children to school, it's in a bus, but it's a special bus.
Yes.
When you shoot at the bus, you can't shoot him because it's
bulletproof.
Bulletproof. Yeah. It's regular to us. We are all the time hear the news. We have people who's in Ganatot who's looking what's going around us, and it's a very hard situation, but we are there, and we are continuing.
Oh, I can tell you that the audience of this program appreciates what you're doing, and of course some of them support Diana Tote, and you are our messenger in a way. We are Zionists in the sense we want the Jews back in the land, and you're helping hold down a piece of it that Jeremiah paid for, that's Jewish land, even though it's 5 miles from Ramallah.
Yeah, and that's something I want. And I tell you before, and we are appreciate your think about us, your condition, that you are all the time be with us.
Yes,
that you are pray about, pray to God that we can live here and be peacefully. What how can we be peacefully? But that we can live here.
Yeah.
And it makes us happy that we know that we are not alone. That we are not alone.
Yeah.
And that you, the Zola community, are with us, and it makes us very, very happy that to know it. And we are very appreciative and saying thank you very much about it. And
you're very welcome. Your parents also had a hard life.
My parents was they are. I was born in Romania, and
in Romania,
yeah, in Europe, and the both of them was at the Holocaust, the Second World War.
They were in the Holocaust.
Thank to God, they stay alive. They came to Israel.
They survived. You told me before we sat down, they were at Dachau, they were at Auschwitz. And yet they survived.
Yeah, my mother was at Dachau, Auschwitz, in the ladder of a very bad situation. I think we can't compare the situation we are now here in Israel. Now, we are very afraid that the situation here in Israel is going to be the same thing that it was to my parents in the Holocaust, if the old situation is going to be that the PLO is going to be, the Palestinians going to get a country, or how do you say, a nation state, and they will and they try when they got more force to kill us. We are very afraid. We think about it. We we didn't feel so comfortable with the situation now that the map road.
Roadmap, yes. What do you think about the roadmap?
Yeah, we are afraid that it's the beginning of something, that it will be the end. It's going to be a bad end to us, to the Israeli. We are very afraid of that.
Outside, he showed us some of the security system used at Anatot. We have purchased many of this equipment with donations from our ministry. A fully equipped security vehicle, portable high-intensity lights, a bulletproof vest, binoculars, a helmet, a two-way radio, and an M16 rifle. Most of this made possible through the generous gifts of our viewers. If you want to help out with Anatot, just let us know. When you talk with these Arab people from the towns near Anatot, do you find that there's all sorts of people like there are in the Israeli society, some reasonable people, some difficult? I mean, it's a normal society or not?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I don't know. Because when we speak together, we know that, we know how to say it, the rules of the play.
Yeah.
We know the rules of the play. You are living
the rules of the game.
The rules of the game. Excuse me. Yes, you are living in a democratic country, and I'm too. We know the rules of the games.
Okay.
And they are not. They are not. Not only here in Palestine, in all the Union, in Egypt and in Syria and all of them, it's not democratic.
No.
And they are doing what they told to do, or against what they told to do, against the government or the kings, or who's leading over there. And it's a very hard situation over there. It's the religions. It's not it's not good. All the story of the shahids, but it's not good.
And the
martyrs, yeah. And the look of view of life, that they can't accept democracy. That a lot of people, the majority of the people, can take can decide something, and the little of the people who didn't want to do it, after the majority decided, they must do it. That's life.
Well, Adi, I really appreciate you taking the time to come to us and to reassure us, and you're going to hold the land, huh?
Sure, we're going to go on the land, and we are, it's our home. We can't see another home. It's natural to us to stay here, and we can't imagine that we must leave our home. It's not something we even think about it, because we think we are we continue the way of Jeremiah, and the people who live here, there. It's historical here.
Yes.
We are not like another people. We are living 1,000 years before.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's our home.
It's our home. Yes, he's right. It is his home. Look, Anatot is not far from Bethel, at which God reiterated to Jacob the covenant with Israel. It changed Jacob's name to Israel. The whole West Bank is Jewish land. All of the history of it, all of the archaeology in the ground is Jewish. There's simply no contention that it's Arab land. This is a made-up piece of propaganda, but Arabs obviously come from Saudi Arabia. It's no more Arab land than it's Swedish land. They came a long time ago, but not this long ago. Not when Jeremiah bought the thing. Jeremiah bought the land in, give or take, 5-something B.C., and Mohammed wasn't born till the 8th century A.D. That's 1,300 years later. There's no contention about the land. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago we spoke with Joni, who was an American gal, and she lives out there in a settlement with her husband, Stu. This time we have her husband, an American man, with a great deal to say about the new American peace plan, the roadmap.
I think it's a roadmap to perdition, a roadmap to hell, a roadmap of something, some sort of fantasy that absolutely will not succeed. And I wonder why people are pushing us into this. Now, this is being done with the Palestinian Authority, which is the sanitized name of the Palestine Liberation Organization, an organization that has been out to destroy Israel, You can hear it in all their proclamations. You can hear it on their radio. You can see it on their television programs. You can read it in their newspapers. It's there for everybody if they translate it from Arabic, and there are people that do that. So a person, as I said once before, would have to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to know what this is. Now, exactly why we are being pushed into this, I don't know. First of all, I want to show you, I went to the internet. Now, here is a map. This map came off the site of the Palestinian Authority. It says right on the top, Palestine Central Bureau of Statistics. It is a map that it says map of Palestine. But what is it a map of? It is a map of Israel. I'm telling you, they don't want a state alongside Israel. They want a state in place of Israel.
Well, one thing about Stuart, you don't have to doubt how he feels. He's outspoken. Listen, he's angry. He's put a lot into this and come along with this peace plan, so-called, and threatened his very settlement. I mean, this is where he lives. This is important. Anyway, he's brought out another map, and he went on.
Now I would like to show you another map. This is the map of the Mandate for Palestine that was given to Britain by the League of Nations at the end of World War I. You can clearly see Palestine, British mandate. Up here is Syria, French mandate. Over here is Iraq, and Iraq is British mandate. Now this is the map of Palestine. Now I'm going to show you the same map. All I did was cut out this piece. Here is the map of Palestine. What did Britain do? Their first official act when they received the mandate over Palestine. They cut off everything east of the Jordan River and gave it to a tribe from Arabia. It's called Jordan. You don't believe me that they're a tribe from Arabia? Take a look at their passport. Take a look at their official name, the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. The Hashemites were a tribe from Arabia. So, the Arabs already have 79% of Palestine. Now they're working on the other 21%. Yes, the Arabs want peace. The Arabs want peace. Peace by peace. Until there's no more Israel. That's the peace that the Arabs want.
There's little question that terrorism has left its mark on Israel. But do Americans have an accurate picture of what's really going on? Do they know how safe the streets really are?
No, I don't think Americans have an accurate picture of what goes on here. And I base it on speaking to a lot of tourists. Anytime I see somebody standing and looking at a map, I go over and say, "May I help you? I live in the country. May I help you find what you're looking for?" And I ask them questions. And they say, "We find it so peaceful. All we hear in America is about these shootings and these bombings and the violence. And then we come here and people are sitting at outdoor cafes, and people are walking the streets, and the kids are playing their football and basketball games. That's the way it is." Now, true, there are terrorist incidents every now and then. And don't think that the terrorist incidents started because of Judea and Samaria. The terrorist incidents in this country go back more than 100 years. The Jerusalem Post, which used to be called the Palestine Post, is full of stories of Arabs putting bombs in theaters, public places, and buses. This has been going on for 100 years. It's not because we hold Judea and Samaria. It's because they just don't want Jews here. And where else can we go? This is the only Jewish country in the world. This is the only country that revolves around my holidays, that when I say Chag Sameach, Happy holiday, it's my holiday. How many Muslim countries are there? There are more than 50 Muslim countries. Now, they're not all Arabic. 50 Muslim countries stretching all the way from the Atlantic Ocean, North Africa, the Middle East, and up through all the southern republics that used to be in the Soviet Union. All of those are Muslim nations. And the Arab League has 21 members, 21 Arab states. There is only one Jewish state in the world. And as I showed you a few minutes ago, the Arabs are trying to tear that to pieces until nothing is left of the one Jewish state in the world.
You know, one point seldom made about the West Bank is it looks like the moon. I mean, there's just nothing going on out there. It's empty land. It's the Arabs haven't cultivated it very well, and the only places that are green out there are the Jewish settlements. The Israel calls the place, there's an informal boundary known as the Green Line. That's where the settlements stop and the moonscape begins. And the scripture beautifully describes this cultivation of the land. Ezekiel 36, 34 and 35, "And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by, and they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited." And that's exactly what has happened. Now comes the the world, the government, the UN, whoever, and wants to tear that all down and get back to the moon. Hard to understand. Well, at least we can shalom Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.